2009. What an interesting year. And it was only 10 years ago.
I know.
And then, of course,
I can do the math.
We can even then turn to the movies. Mm-hmm. What an amazing movie year
it was. Great movie year.
And, of course, at the time, we didn't appreciate it. But now, we're going to appreciate it.
If there's a screen, a movie, and a chance to talk, they're there. Cube Critics.
It's always interesting to go through these lists.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is jaw-dropping.
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, we've got Avatar. Mm-hmm. We've got An Education. I mean, it's just from the sublime to the ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
We also have a couple things that you look back and you're like, ugh, Precious,
mm-hmm.
which was just over the top.
But caused a cultural sensation, it could mm-hmm. be
I
argued.
Know. Yeah, it was popular. And then 500 Days of Summer, one of my most loathed romantic comedies of all time.
You know, I still haven't seen that.
Watch and see if you hate it as much as I do.
Well, I've talked to a number of people who I really respect,
mm-hmm.
who get almost angry.
Yes. It is so retro and sexist, I can't even. 500 Days of Summer. Marf, marf. Anyway, let's talk about good things.
Let's talk about, well, I mean, there's so many good things, but...
Well, don't start with the list because you're going to steal my thunder. You're going to talk about some movie that I like.
Okay, well, shall we just start with movies we like?
Okay.
And then, okay, yeah. you go first.
All right,
So I don't steal the thunder.
Okay, my favorite movie of the past, like, 20 years, A Serious Man, came out in 2009.
Oh, yes.
But that's not what I'm going to talk about.
I'm going
to talk about The Maid. Did you see The Maid?
Now, this is the Korean film?
No, there's a horror movie called The Maid. Not that one. No. Different. This is a 2009 Chilean film about a woman, a maid, who has worked for the same family for over two decades. And it's a great companion to Roma because it looks at the life of a domestic worker with a completely different tone. This is a psychological thriller. It's a chamber piece in a lot of ways because they only at the very end get out of the apartment of the family. And she's actually quite happy in her position. What's happening, what occurs is that she starts being able to not be able to perform her job, and the family doesn't want to get rid of her, but they want to bring in some help. And she does not want her position usurped. So she becomes paranoid. She becomes combative. It's funny at times. It is tense. What a great movie and a great central performance. And I highly recommend The Maid. And make sure you're watching the Chilean one and not the horror movie from about four years earlier.
Which does have... If you like that kind of stuff.
If you like that kind of thing, but that's not what I'm talking about.
You're talking about the other one.
Anyway, it's an interesting companion to Roma because it takes on the world of a domestic worker very seriously, but not realistically. But then, you know, like high drama and thrillers can get to big truths about people and who they are in a way that sometimes realistic movies don't. Not that I'm besmirching Roma. I thought Roma was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, The Maid.
I want to talk about a couple of movies which were very much of their time. And one of the challenges with movies like that is that they perhaps become less
interesting
mm-hmm. as time goes on. But I'm actually wondering if these two movies perhaps add something a little. And the first one is In the Loop, which is a very dark satire about political shenanigans, which they begin in London but end up in Washington. And it's made by Armando Iannucci, who's a genius, recently made The Death of Stalin. In between those two things, he made Veep, which mm-hmm. has been a very, very popular show. And before that, he was doing... I've forgotten the name of the thing that
Indolent... The precursor to In Loop, I can't remember.
But basically, this movie is... It kind of builds on a TV series that he did mm-hmm. In the UK. And it's the story about this politician played by Tom Hollander, who is so funny. Who is, he wants to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but he also...
The thick of it, Ewan.
Yeah, the thick of it, that was it, yes, the thick of it. He wants to do the right thing, but... he also wants to kind of make headway within his party, and so he is trying to learn the doublespeak, which is very important in all political power bases. And he makes this statement about an impending war, which is, when you listen to it, it's so ambiguous. However, it is seized upon by the people who are opposed to this impending war, and he is held up suddenly as this great hero who is speaking their truth, and then the dominoes begin falling all over the place. He is brilliant, but Peter Capaldi plays a flack for the ruling party.
Nasty piece of work.
And yes, an amazing character. And the thing is that he elevates swearing to an art form, which I honestly believe has not been matched since. And I was lucky enough to talk to Armando Iannucci about this, and apparently they spent a long time practicing the swearing because it was so hard just to get it exactly right. Now, this, if you have any qualms about bad language, run away from this.
No.
If you appreciate a wonderful turn of phrase, which is then dipped into kind of horrendous obscenity, this is the film for you. It is just brilliant. And then, of course, there's also James Gandolfini, isn't it, in one of his final performances.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
He plays an American general who gets pulled into this mess, too. It's just brilliant,
and
the whole thing.
Iannucci was responsible for this incredible, I think the TV show was called The Day Today. And there was one skit where it's a fake news program. And there's the interviewer comes on and says, well, you know, he introduces like the commerce secretary and then somebody else, and he keeps pinging them off each other until they both admit that they want to go to war, and they declare war like within 2 minutes of during this interview live on this cable TV show. And it's from the mid 90s. You can find it on YouTube, and it is so funny. The Day Today, the war skit. I love that. Iannucci's a genius. Can I talk about one now?
Let go for it.
All right, I will go for it. Bader-Meinhof Complex.
Ah, yes.
I love this movie. I cannot believe that not so long ago, in the 1970s, homegrown domestic terrorists roamed Germany, roamed the United States. And this movie looks at the roots of the Bader-Meinhof group. And it's a complicated group because it isn't just like two people who got together and had, you know, Bader-Meinhof, and then had some people following them. They were from different backgrounds. Some of them were obviously psychologically damaged. Some just lost their minds. And some were just politically motivated to take on the government and take on fascism, as they saw it. And you're alternately pulled between rooting for them at times. Sometimes you're laughing at crazy situations that they got themselves into. And then Bruno Ganz, the great German actor, plays the hero of the actual story and the hero in the movie who tirelessly goes after them and does it not in some brutal way, but by really trying to understand who they are and what motivates them. And it makes for a great film. There's all kinds of awesome 70s outfits. The central performance of Ulrike Meinhof by Martina Gedeck is gripping. She's the star of the film, and she's what a character. You cannot believe that this is a real story, and it's interspersed with actual footage. It's astonishing that this was happening not that long ago. And there'll be scenes where they just walk into a building, and the board of a corporation is speaking, and they just take them prisoner. Security lapses that we would never allow today, and it was really. I know there are young people saying, like people in their 20s or younger saying, the 70s were so long ago, but they really weren't that long ago, people. The Bader-Meinhof Complex is fantastic.
You know, I'm just trying to remember, was it 7 Days in Entebbe?
Mm-hmm.
Which came out a couple of years ago about the a similar kind of a domestic terrorism plot. It was, it kind of reminds me of that in many ways, the Rosamund Pike and the various other folks in there. It was just, really got into the mind.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time that the TV series Carlos was out, which was about Carlos the Jackal, and following him and he's so seductive and starts off with some real, with some true politics that you can admire in mm-hmm. a way, and then just loses it. He turns into an arrogant man who's narcissistically self-obsessed with his own image, and it's a fantastic TV show that you can watch as a movie. Carlos, it's also
yes,
good.
Yes, indeed.
On the same time.
We're all right, coming out.
Bader Meinhof. One more, Ewan.
One more. Up in the Air, which was kind of an early Jason Reitman. He'd done a couple before.
He'd done Thank You for Smoking, which is so stupid.
Oh,
was a bad movie.
I love that film.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so poorly. The production designer, it was supposed to be set in the 80s, and you really couldn't tell. It was so, the satire was so limp. And yeah, I hated that movie.
Okay.
It was poorly done. Poorly done.
I enjoyed it, but never mind. But we're not talking about that movie.
We're talking about Up in the Air.
We're talking about Up in the Air, which, again, a story of its time. It's. Stars George Clooney as this gentleman who specializes in flying around the country to orchestrate mass layoffs. Mm-hmm. It just rips your heart out in many ways, but he has convinced himself that this work needs to be done and that he has come up with a system where there is a personal touch, where he has a way of letting people down easily as they begin their very short walk out the door. And he's at peace with himself. He's more excited by the fact that he gets so many air miles from flying around doing this work that at some point he may become the youngest person to, I can't even remember, it was 10 million miles or something like that. And he's excited about getting that award. But along comes a young, very excited person played by Anna Kendrick, who has this new system she thinks will be more efficient, which will be laying people off by using video conference calls.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the story is about the tension between these two, whilst, in a way, the Clooney character is kind of looking for love, too, and that's where Vera Farmiga comes in. So it's just beautifully put together as this story unfolds. And at the time, there was a lot of this going on.
Yeah, it was right after the downturn of 2008.
Yeah, a lot of people were losing their jobs. And actually, one of the most heart-rending moments is near the beginning, where they actually used video of real people who had just been laid off, just talking about what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Just extraordinary. And yet, it's kind of a comedy.
Oh, yeah, it's very funny. And Anna Kendrick is fantastic.
Just
and I'd never heard of her before. This woman, she's tiny and she was super mm-hmm. young then, shows up. I'm like, who did they cast? Who is this person? And she goes toe-to-toe with Clooney. She's so charismatic. She's so funny. It's a great performance from her.
Yeah.
And it could have been something where she was, where they come off as like a stupid young person. She's not at all. She's so sharp. She's great.
What I really liked about this film at the time, and I suppose even now, is that it tells a story that is kind of unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you into a world where these are real people dealing with real issues, obviously in a fictional, dramatic way, but still really, really thought-provoking.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
No.
All right. Thank you very much, Ewan. And also, Moon came out that year and Seen Nombre came out that year. Holy cow. What
so
great
many,
movies.
So many.
Summer Hours. Oh, my God.
We didn't even talk about Avatar.
Wow. Well, Avatar. Summer Hours, Moon, Seen Nombre. You can't go wrong.